All right. Good morning. It is Wednesday. We are live and we've got Kurt Schoonrod and Dave Levinson in the studio with us this morning. Kurt's doing a big show at Monte Cassino until?
Until the 17th. That's next Sunday.
There we go. Yeah. So you can go and see him live. And if you are not a fan of rugby, I've got the perfect thing for you to do as an alternative because it's only going to be you, other non-rugby lovers, and Kurt. And he can entertain you and regale you with terrific stories, as they said in the press release. Stories that last 70 minutes.
Relatable.
They don't understand that's not a... Whoever wrote that's not selling it properly.
No, listen, they. It was accurate. It's just not exactly a great sales pitch. And you've got to sit quietly for 70 minutes.
Okay, so you say you're a big petrol head.
I'm a huge petrol head, yeah.
Okay, so when did that start? And what was the car that you were like... Because I saw a Knight Rider car the other day.
Oh, that's a Trans Am 1981.
Dude, that's it. Yeah. I saw it here in Ilove, Athol?
Yeah.
In Joburg. I was driving to a thing, and I saw this car, and I thought, my God, that's the Knight Rider car. Yeah. Now, there can't be more than one or two of those.
There's a few of them, yeah. Actually, they're not that rare. Eh?
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen one.
They made them in huge numbers.
But I thought suddenly, and this is why I'm glad to be talking to you about this now, I thought that oak, wherever he goes, or girl, I don't know who was driving because you couldn't see. They are the
kid driver.
They are the person who has the Knight Rider car.
There's one just before it. It was the Smokey and the Bandit car, which is exactly the same car just a year before. It's called a Pontiac Trans Am. Now, where I come from, if you were driving a Pontiac Trans Am with a snort and a cowboy hat, bro.
You were the coolest person in the world.
Okay, maybe I'm giving away my age
length. Where did it start
man.
For you?
For me, my dad was a petrolhead. My grandfather was a petrolhead. So when I started, I used to do the pumping the brakes thing for the brake bleeding thing. Yeah. And this big old white steering wheel in front of me and the smell of an old car. Fuck, I was in love, bro. I haven't gotten over it yet. Honestly, I haven't.
You know, I also think with those older cars... They made the seats like they were sofas.
The seats were
like sofas. The front, if you look at some of those, particularly those cars from the 50s and 60s, right?
Yeah.
The whole front seat is a sofa.
It's called a bench seat.
It's even got armrests.
Man, do you know, I drive a 57 Chevy most days. Uh-huh. In Cape Town.
That's cool.
It's old school. I love
yes,
it.
That's cool.
And you know what the crumple zone of a 57 Chevy is? The Toyota Corolla in front of it.
That's really the crumple zone. Yeah, that thing's made of steel.
It's like good old-fashioned thick gauge steel.
Yeah.
It weighs about 3.5 tons. Costs a fortune to run.
But on the weighbridge if you use the highway.
Exactly. You got to pull over to the truck lane.
But that is, I mean, also it's a wide car, right?
It's wide. It's got wings out back, rockets up front,
that's,
dogmas.
That's cool.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I can see you love it because your face gives it away. You're like more excited about that.
Than the show.
No, and I love that. When you find out that someone is really passionate about something and you see them just... absolutely love talking about it. To me, that's gold.
Cheers,
that's
man.
That's gold. I love it.
Check out my page. It's called Kurt Loves Cars.
Okay.
And we,
it's your
we,
Instagram page.
We exactly. It's one of them. I've got Kurt Schoonrod and Kurt Loves Cars. So I literally review old cars. We chat about it and tell you what the shortcomings are and what makes you feel great about driving one. And I'm just in love.
You've got a friend called Keenan. He's in Cape Town. He's in Joburg now. So I'll do this with Keenan all the time. I say, watch this. So I'll walk past a car or something on TV and go, what Mercedes-Benz is that? And then Kurt goes, oh, that's the 280 SC.
Yeah.
It came with a double. And then me and Keenan walk out of the room. He's like a wind-up doll. And then we'll come back an hour later. And, so on. And the suspension was never made in that year. But what they did was they took the leaf springs and made them into a double-edged sword.
And it's not too far from the tooth. I just go,
And he just goes.
Did you read everything you could about cars when you were a kid as well?
Every little bit I could I could consume. But here's the weirdest thing is I would never score high in my school at my academia stuff. But I can remember shit I read about a car and who designed it 70 years
it's
ago.
Like I can remember the lyrics to songs, but I can't tell you anything about what I wrote in matric.
Same
Not
story.
A
There's a support group
here's
here.
Here's the test though for you. Did you ever go to showrooms just to see cars?
I still do.
You still do.
He stops outside Classic. There's a place where I live, sort of past Lone Hill there.
Uh-huh.
What's it called?
Creative Rides.
He can't not turn in.
So even if I'm I just walk the floor and I go,
even if there's just one new one that you haven't seen.
Man, even if it's the same old ones and they haven't changed a single thing, I'll scan it from a different angle.
Oh, man.
I'd have lunch there. Like, you know, I would drive my old car somewhere and park it in just the right angle, in my opinion, the right angle. I will find a place to have a cup of coffee and I will stare at it for 2 hours.
At your own car.
Yeah. My own car. Now, you know the story. If you're not looking back at your car when you walk away from it, you're driving the wrong car. Huh?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking
completely
at it. Did you wash the thing and polish it yourself and all of that?
All of that. I do a little bit of tinkering myself, but a lot of the time I have to call someone like, look, Chris, I think I fucked this up. Come sort this out.
I've seen him. He wears like little short denim shorts and he sends me a video. Dave, I'm washing my car today. He's in his little Daisy Dukes.
Don't you think a lot of the cars have become... I mean, they're obviously high tech, very safe. You've got airbags everywhere. You've got onboard computers. And I'm not talking about expensive cars now. I'm talking about
just the average
stuff.
Car.
Yeah, now you buy stuff and it's everything's got electric windows and, you know.
I think they're just soulless now.
They are a bit, like people.
Well,
because people are the same, thanks to these. They're
exactly.
Also soulless. They walk around like this the whole time and they've got nothing to say.
Every car is designed on one or two pieces of software, and it's generally CAD software and computer-aided design stuff.
They all look the same.
So if you take the badges off most cars, the average person won't be able to tell you which one's what.
I promise you, Kurt, I probably couldn't either. And I see a new car, because I read the name, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Kurt can hear the sound of an exhaust, and he'll tell you what car it is.
What is a Jayco? What was the one that came up the other day? There's one called a Fronks, a Suzuki Fronks.
And I've never checked that one.
What a cuck name.
Fronks was in charge of the cake at the wedding.
Yeah.
Frank with the cake.
Fronks. Hi, I'm Fronks.
I'm Fronks
and
with
I've
the
made
cake.
You cake.
Kurt knows that he has an exhaust pipe and he goes, that's a BMW M2.
Yeah.
And I look outside the window and it is, and he goes, and it's probably driven by a Duos.
I'm going to.
Probably. So he can only tell the exhaust pipe, but the oak that's driving it. He's
but
a Capricorn.
Wouldn't you almost prefer a second or third or fourth hand old car than a brand new, out of the box, modern, soulless car?
Well, I think it's important that most of us will have a normal, average, run-of-the-mill car because, you know, you can hold up in traffic and it's relatively safe to do and all of that. I wouldn't be able to drive one every day, all day. So I've got a Hilux Bucky that I drive most days because my light is into downhill cycling. So I've got 10 of his friends and we've got to load the Bucky full of bikes.
Downhill cycling?
Yeah, bro. He's a big downhill cycler. Yeah.
So only downhill? They don't do the uphill.
No, they don't do the uphill. That's cross country.
That's what the Bucky's for, to take him up.
That's exactly.
Take him up on the back of the Bucky.
But he also drives an i10.
So what is it?
Doesn't fit any bicycles on it.
But hang on, is the speed the thing, the point?
It's the speed and the skill it takes to get down there and go over rocks in this very specialized equipment.
No point in trying this in Bloemfontein.
No, no, or Holland for that matter, where they're back 2 centimeters above sea level.
I mean, I do get a lot of uphill when I go there.
Where do you have to take him?
Stellenbosch is big. Tukai is big in Cape Town. Okay. There's a couple of trails in all of those areas. There's lots of mountainous spaces in Cape Town.
And all these downhill cyclists are at the top of the hill, and they take their chances.
I must warn Kurt that
there's courses and
Gareth
stuff.
Gareth knows nothing about sport. Doesn't know what sport is.
No, that's called berms. It's like an elevated edge like you would have on the Autobahn, for example.
I've seen them at the Olympics where they have those...
Yeah, berms.
Is it like that?
Yeah, it's like that, but it's all downhill. There's rocks and trees and all kinds of...
Well, Jesus.
My kid had a big accident about 2 years ago. I discuss it in depth in my show, Funny Side Up.
Okay.
And
But he made it.
He degloved his bottom lip.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means that all look kind of worse. And he tore his cheek here, and he didn't get his hands out
so
fast.
He looked like a Muppet.
He did, yeah. He did. Listen, we got out of the Bucky. They took him down from the mountain. He got out of the Bucky. What I meant to say was, don't worry, my boy, it's going to be okay. But what came up was, oh, fuck, because this whole thing was, But thank God it went back together. And
Gareth has no idea what sport is, so he's thinking, do these bicycle guys have a parcel to deliver at the bottom? Because that'll make sense to Gareth. That's not sport.
Like
he's delivering a
60-60.
That's the guy who actually won last week, and he wasn't even in the race.
He had no idea he was
competing. 2 Checker 60 guys won the downhill race last year on one of those bikes.
All right, so Bitcoin Boot wants you to answer this. This is a big story this week.
Oh, no.
I think it's boring, but go ahead. What's Kurt's opinion on the Gaten saga? Because I also think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's what you think, but when you went, oh, I thought that's probably.
Well, you know, there was two sides to that particular sword. It was the first that was the podcast where the coloured people were dragged through that racist space. Yeah. And then, of course, Gayton McKenzie. They went back in his social media stuff and got it from like 2013 or something like that. So, I mean, listen, life is messy, bro. There's nothing. I watched your show on Monday about it's not going to stop the world to hear the slur. It's horrible and shit, and I understand that. But I do think that as South Africans, we need to take the edge out of the shit. The only way we can do that is to actually embrace it instead of run away from it. Mm. That's my take on it. Now, I also believe that, you know, I've said some horrible shit in traffic about my own people. They're a bunch of fucking wankers sometimes, and they drive like shit. Especially, we call them Nikes and Spikes in Cape Town. We all use these eyeballs and spikes, and it's generally VTEX and low suspensions. And I've called them all kinds of names, but these are my own people.
With the windows up.
Of course, listen, I might end up at the robot next to this fucker, you know? So, but I do think, as South Africans, we need to just have a little bit of latitude when it comes to... And listen, racism is off and cuck
and
wrong.
Can I tell you what? If you heard... And I don't hate anybody. Yeah. I promise you, I go to sleep at night. I'm the happiest oak in the world. But if you heard me in traffic sometime, you would think...
No holds barred.
This oak is a prick.
Bitcoin, I want to share a story, but I'll do it quickly. My missus is German.
Okay.
We spend a lot of time in Germany, at least once a year. We visit the in-laws and stuff. And I was pushing my kid at the time. He's 15 now. He was about three at the time, two, three. And we were in Berlin. And I went into a store because I collect all kinds of old vintage shit, you know, sunglasses, Alpes, cars, whatever. So I was in this store and this guy came up to me and says, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, hello. He turns to me, you have got to pay to be inside the store. Oh. I was like, fuck. I said, I haven't bought anything yet. Usually we do this on the way out, bro.
Yeah.
And he went, no, you need to pay to be in here. And then that fucking penny dropped for me. I was in a fucking army surplus store. This oak was bald and in camouflage. And I was like, fuck, I'm in the wrong place, bro.
But do you think it was because you were colored?
Oh, it was definitely because I was colored. And then afterwards, you said,
amazing, hey, Berlin. And how long ago?
This was 8 years ago, maybe? 10 years ago?
Wow, I mean...
Not
that
long ago.
That oak's a real holdover.
No, he was a real holder of the old Reich vibe, right? Yeah. And then he said, your kind is not welcome here.
Auf deine Blüte, ein kleines
He goose marched me out of there, my bro.
But so what did you buy in the shop?
Fuck all.
What did you steal?
He bought a Hitler Youth pamphlet from 1939.
Listen,
what do you think he bought?
Two helmets.
It's funny
SS.
Now, but it really did my head in when I was there.
So it was because you were coloured?
It was because I was coloured. Damn straight it was.
Do you know how hard it hits? I've been with Kurt when he's been called a name at a comedy club. And I saw him sink into a terrible depression. It was horrible to watch.
You both are, again, in the furnace of comedy where people say fucking terrible things while you're performing. You know, they paid you to...
I saw it happen and I was... Okay, it took away all of our vibe.
Because I, just like the oak who said, I hate that oak, right? Yeah. When people say cuck things, but do you hear a lot of overt racism these days? Because I honestly, maybe I'm just moving in circles where nobody does anymore. I don't hear those words that often.
So there's a comedian called Stuart Taylor, and he said in his show, he says, racism, it should go back to where it belongs, around the braai.
And you don't, maybe
I can
I'm going
spot
the
racist
braais.
Comments being made across the room.
Can you?
Yes, you can. What they do is they look around and they don't like us. Yeah. And then they drop the line. I'm like, it's Betty saying something about the coloured guy in the corner of the room.
Do I remember this? And I think you will. Can I explain it to you? We were in Pretoria.
I remember
we had
it.
We done a comedy show, and the lady said, come comedians, you guys come to after party at this club. What was it called? Goodfellas.
One of those. It was in Pretoria.
And we went,
Hatfield,
so we walked in.
Was,
so now here's your white privilege where you don't realize. In Pretoria, in the late, early 2000s.
I didn't expect Dave Levinson to be the one to bring up white privilege this morning. Go ahead.
So now you don't realize where it is until it hits you. So we walk into the bar and the club, and I'm standing there. Kurt's not there. I go outside. He's sitting on the pavement like this with his hand in his head like this. And he's just sitting there. And he would not tell us what happened. And later on, when we were driving on, he said, The doorman called me a hot knot.
You're joking.
And Kurt, every single thing came came back for, from his memory of growing up in the Cape Flats. Everything
hit him. I don't want to dismiss, and you say you listen to Monday's show, so I don't want to dismiss the pain that all of this brings to
people. It hit
him
hard, eh?
But the reality is, I think it's harder than ever. If you're looking for racism now, sure, you'll find it. But there's an over demand for people to be upset and take things personally. And there's an undersupply. Like, I don't know anyone who's dumb enough, first of all, because you have to be very stupid to be overtly racist, because you know the cuck's going to come.
The cancel.
These days, if someone catches any of you on their phone saying something absolutely appalling, racist, sexist, fucking whatever, they're going to post that, and that's the end.
What I don't like is the disbelief that it exists. I like someone going, can you believe he said this?
It definitely happens, and I think that the most important thing about it is that when it happens, people know that oak's fucked.
So the owner came to you afterwards and he brought that bouncer with, he apologized to Kurt, and then we got very drunk.
then that's okay. But you're right, Kurt, because you said just now we've got to give each other a little bit of latitude here.
It is important. I think it is. Because, you know, life's a mess, eh? There aren't, you know, what we do is we knee-jerk react to shit like that.
Does anyone really think that Gayton McKenzie's sitting there stewing in like 100% racism? You know?
I don't think so.
Like sitting there thinking, you know, these blacks.
And you know what the
whites.
Thing is, he's outspoken, and we like it when he's outspoken about the Grand Prix and getting to live golf here. Yeah.
Sure.
And about his jail term. Yeah. But when he's outspoken about something where he just turns it, you know, when you turn and you say that thing and you realize, and you turn back, now you've just said a thing that he says anyway.
Man, I get it, and you pointed out perfectly. They understand the pain, and there is pain attached to it. But you know, what in life doesn't have pain attached to it?
Well, sure. I mean, I say that again, and not to be flippant about it, because we do have a very interesting and unique and complicated history in this country. But when I say I understand the pain, it's like I understand the pain of a woman giving birth. I've never felt it myself, but I can understand. I mean, like that must have been tough.
Yeah. Does that bouncer change his ways after being told, hey, man?
Of course. Does that he was probably more embarrassed than Kurt was embarrassed when he said.
Yeah. So he says it in passing, and Kurt overhears it.
But afterwards, it turns into his story now.
The damage is done.
And both people come out of it worse, right? Because he's made you feel cuck, for starters, and then he feels like a total tool afterwards, because now his boss is called, you come here, you apologize. I mean,
but in that story, I think is the solution to this issue here, is that we all give a little bit of latitude, both victim and perpetrator, and we switch that around. Because, you know, as a colored man, this is not the first racism exercise experience I've had. I remember not being able to get on a train with my football team and my under 10 team. That was years ago. I remember that because we were a colored team. We were not allowed on that carriage. We had to go to the other carriage and wait for the next train to come.
But what do you make of black people who say, well, coloreds have had it easy? Because that happens.
I think coloreds have had it the hardest out of the whole bunch. Now, of course, there's going to be a lot of debate about that. I'm sure they're going to be in the comments. I think that coloured people found themselves on a bit of a political seesaw. Yeah. We were always in the middle, too brown then, and now you're too fucking white. Exactly.
Now.
So we are sitting in the middle of a seesaw situation. Do you know how many jobs I've lost out on because I'm not BEE enough? You ask him.
And you also missed the interview because you weren't allowed on the train.
But Liv, this is what Funny Side Up is all about, is don't lose your sense of humor. There's a humor to be had in all the cuck.
I also think we should be allowed to be funny and rude about each other, right?
That's where roasting comes from.
I think so.
But have you been to those roasts? Some of them are shitty. Like I met a guy.
The ones we
do
here.
No, the ones we do here are shitty. Yeah. But I met a guy and he thought he knew me. So he started roasting me. And I had to take him aside and say, John, we're not friends from school. I wasn't in the army with you. I wasn't in the hostel with you. My friends who love me roast me.
Yeah.
You must see at our house, at Kurt's place now, it's roasting central.
So you've earned the right to roast somebody that you have had in your life for a long time. And I think the Comedy Central in America really gets it right because, I mean, there are one or two guys that are put in there.
Well, it used to start with, what was the club called? York, Friars Club.
Yeah. That was with love, hey?
And that was, and by the way, if you got roasted, you were at the top of your game.
And look at the mix of the panel. There was no color bar. It was everybody.
And it was your closest friends. And then at the end of it, they have a hug out. and you high five on the way out.
Yeah.
You got Steve Wolfman and John Flismus. That was a fantastic hug out. Did you guys see that?
Did they hug each other?
No, they didn't hug each other. They didn't smack each other at all.
I think in South Africa, we just don't have. I've always believed we don't even have celebrities, to be perfectly frank. We don't.
If you've got a show that requires celebrities, it's going to be a very short run, one season deal.
Well, okay.
You're going to end up doing politicians.
I've been doing, just since the podcast started, like it's 11 years of what started off as 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I think I've interviewed, like, now it's done.
In this
There's
country,
no one left to interview.
Politicians are celebrities in this country, and that's a problem.
It's a big problem. And sports stars, and then people who are in the media, which is a very rough
and then
category.
Actors, I mean, maybe.
Actors in South Africa. Acting. That's a difficult business in this country.
That is indeed.
I went to a movie premiere last night, and it was so lacquer to see their community based. They're looking after each other. Because they're in the
actors.
No, they're making movies.
What are they? Do they all run a soup kitchen for each other?
All run soup kitchens. They were making shoes. It was lovely to see.
Listen, I wanted to ask you about this. So last night, I get into bed early for some reason.
I think it
had to do with waking up early here. And I downloaded a movie called Troll. Okay, and it was in Norwegian.
Yeah, I seen that.
You seen
it?
I didn't know this was going to be in Norwegian. Yeah. And it's about this fucking troll that comes up out of the ground and like storms down into Oslo and like breaks shit. But a troll.
Is it 70 minutes of uninterrupted humor?
It's actually not a bad movie, but all in Norwegian. I don't speak any Norwegian.
They're all subtitles. So you want to
No subtitles. I didn't have a subtitles thing. So in the first 5 minutes, I decided either I'm going to put up with this and try to piece it together without understanding any Norwegian at all, or I'm going to give up right now.
Did you not give up?
No, I watched the whole thing.
Does the troll take a shit at any point in the movie?
In public.
Because that would go into your subconscious. To do with it, right?
So I bought the girl with the tattoo, what's that?
Dragon tattoo.
Stieg Larsson, the girl with the dragon tattoo, to drive from Cape Town to Joburg. And I bought the wrong disc because it's a, what do you call it, audiobook. Yeah. I bought the original one. The Norwegian one. So I get in the car and I think, well, maybe it's going to flip into English. But now I'm already out of Joburg. And I'm like, well, I'm in Norwegian now.
You're committed to it already.
And it's amazing the way a story goes. You can hear, well, something bad's happening now.
Yeah.
This guy is a bad
guy.
This
is it. I mean, look,
but they're talking different.
But in a movie, they do a lot of the work. Fliegen Hügelögen. So in the movie.
But you would think I would stop listening.
No. They tell you a lot of the story is visual. So especially with a fucking troll. I mean, it's a big troll that like storms across the countryside. So you know what's going on. It's not as if they're hiding the ball. But even when I was just listening to the dialogue, I could pick out a word or two. There's a lot of English that comes from.
What was the theme of the movie? Was there racism in it? Were they against the troll or for him?
No, obviously they were against the troll. Wanted to eat. It ate a person. It actually dropped a soldier into its mouth ate him. So I think the troll was the.
But
bad
exclusive
guy.
Books wouldn't take my CD back.
Oh really?
Obviously, I was speaking Norwegian by the time I went to.
The
CD is broken. They wouldn't accept it back because it had been torn open. But I said, how was I going to know that it's in Norwegian before I listened to it?
So that's the kind of thing. Now there's another subject. There are moments in the service in South Africa where I lose my shit, and I try not to be that troll. See what I did?
Don't talk about your car rental, please.
I'm going to talk about my car rental now. Fuck it,
I have to.
Go
for it.
So I book my car rental from Cape Town. I get here only to find out that somehow my driver's license has disappeared. I got no fucking idea where it is. It's just gone. And I registered a car a few weeks ago, so I might have left it on the counter or something. Listen, it's my mistake. Long story short, though. So now I've paid for this car for 18 days while I'm here, but I can't pick up the car because they can't give it to me. So now I'm trying to get a refund for the bucks I've paid. My bro, they passed me around like a bank at a roadblock. I just went from one operator to another
and
to
no
some
one
call
wants
center.
To help.
No one wants to help me. No. Nobody.
And you know, Kurt's quite a thrifty guy, you know.
And yeah, it's quite a thrifty idea. And so I really wanted to get my refund in as thrifty
without,
as I possibly
without
could.
Without saying the car manufacturer, I mean, you look after your finances.
So have they helped you or not?
Not at all. Not at all. Oh, no, sir, you've got to call head office. Then you've got to call the call center.
And then you do, and you get through to someone who also can't solve
it. Man, it's just one big faux pas after another. All I want is the bucks back, bro.
No, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this is your experience at Johannesburg.
But it gives
there's
you
enough cuck to deal with.
You know what? Every time something happens
from Gareth, the car rental.
I don't know how it works for you. How do you deal with like proper shit? Like someone dies or money? Every comedian does it where they go, there's 5 minutes of comedy here.
Yeah.
I remember when my kid was born, and a lot of the comedians, when they have a kid, they do a show about their kid.
How's your kid really, now? How old is your
son? He's 16.
16.
He's got a black belt in karate. Come and fuck all of you.
Yeah, he's proper as well.
Yeah, 16.
I mean, it's amazing with a dad like Dave.
No, I did it.
He needs the black belt.
That he even got to 16.
You need something to hold his pants up as well.
Because
you know?
I remember you brought him to the studio a couple of times, and I thought, this poor fucking child, because he was listening to your show, and your show was PG, I don't know, 23.
Something about, yeah, he became an adult very quickly. Oh. But the thing is, other people were talking about their kids in their shows, and for reals, I said, why is my kid not doing anything cool? And I just say to him, like, you're useless. I can't write any comedy about you.
Prod him with a stick. Do something.
And then one day he got jokes and he got lineups and he did it properly. And he was in the car and he said, Dad, how come when Mom drives me to school, there's no cunts on the road?
That's fantastic.
This boy's got it.
Yes. That's my boy.
See, obviously takes a different route to school.
So Limited Edition wants you to know, don't feel bad. I'm black and B overlooked me as well.
Oh,
see, it happens.
You missed the train.
Vyasin says, I don't speak Tamil, but as kids, we watched three-hour Indian movies. You finally get the gist of the movie. Yeah, but I mean, listen, a lot of those, particularly the Bollywood movies that I have seen, and I've only seen like two or three in my life, but they all have the same story arc, right?
Well, they steal stories from classics. So yeah. If you spot a Bollywood, you go, that's Hamlet. That's
right. Right.
The last night's movie had a subtitle. So this Russian actor, it's a South African guy, and the other guy, and they're making fun of the Russians. So he misses a shot. And the guy goes, checkity duos. And at the bottom, he goes, look at this idiot. And you're like, you're clapping. You're like, that's not what it.
That's not. You don't call that an idiot.
Yeah. You, like a duos is one level up from an idiot.
Yeah.
No, that's at least two levels.
Explain, if you translate it directly, a box, that's not going to do the job.
No, it's more the other part of the body.
No.
Well, then it's puss, isn't it?
I don't know.
How do you, okay,
how's the show going for you, Gareth?
Let's do Troppo Vergeleken, right?
May for Kansi.
You said no cunts on the road. I think cunts up there. Way worse, right?
Cunts up there, yeah.
Then you get puss, then you get duos.
But they're all based on a vagina.
I'm tempted to go, and then you get politician, but they might be listening to the cuck I'm listening to.
Politician's in there somewhere.
But do you agree with the grading?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in America, the C word is the worst word.
Duos is a 5 out of 10.
But in Australia, it's your friend from school.
So you can't?
Yeah.
And they say, hi, you can't. And if they don't like you, they say, you're a bad cunt.
Yeah.
Cheap.
And they love you, you're a good cunt.
A guy came to me after a show, American guy, he goes, man, you stupid as hell. And I looked at him, it was Griff.
Oh,
so I'm thinking,
Griff.
I tried my best. He goes, no, you're dumb. You goddamn fool. And I'm looking at him, and he's like, and the guy said, Dave, he's complimenting you.
you're stupid as hell.
Stupid. And I felt, okay, I feel good now. Never been called stupid.
All right, but do you, because you mentioned Australians and Americans, but how do you rate those terms? I mean, I use the C word in a limited sense.
I try not
with
to.
The window
is
up.
Is there anything
with respect to in
is
terms
there anything
of
worse than that?
I think the worst thing is telling someone straight up, like properly stuff. Like if I said to you, and I don't know you, and I go, Gareth, you're an asshole. Like that's bad for me, because then you've skipped all of the words and you've gone straight to the place.
You've done a character assessment, and you've decided, I'm just an asshole.
Yeah.
So now, especially just an.
So I tackle this in my show as well, but there's like colored people from Cape Town. We can swear in a way that'll make you feel really cuck.
Oh, yeah.
And we will bring your family, your community, some pickled animals, and a couple of other things into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I promise you, you will feel cuck at the end of that. So yeah, there are levels to that. And that's like gold class, like boost grade.
So the thing with roasting is they said, let's roast, but let's not bring moms into this. And it was kind of the rule.
Because you bring your mother into.
And then I said, well, maybe not your mom.
have you heard the psych talk about his mother?
Yeah, I'm afraid.
He knows my mom.
I know Nikki for as long as I know Dave.
I mean, he makes her sound like she's the worst person that ever lived, but she isn't. She clearly isn't.
No, not at all.
No, she knows Kurt well.
Yeah, we go back a long time. Yeah.
So tell him the stories are true.
I can't say that.
It's shocking, the things you said. Yeah.
We were looked after by my mom's best friend, mom, so just the granny.
Oh.
But we like 7 and 8. But there's 5 or 6 of us, and with Dave, Shanna, Shelly, Wade, Delane, all of us.
Yeah.
Bad ADD, HD kids. And when the parents came home drunk and they'd look at the granny like, how were the kids? And the granny's sitting there like this, Millie was her name. And she sat in the corner like this, she goes, how'd you make me look after this bunch of cunts?
See? That's brilliant.
The first time I heard it. And I'm like, hey, we weren't just one of us. We were a bunch.
Oh, that's great.
Never thought of yourself as a collective noun before, but there you go.
Exactly. So when you get in the quiz, what is it? It's a parliament of owls.
A bunch of cunts. Yeah.
A school of fish and a bunch of cunts.
Yeah, it is. No, it really
we were
is.
Not well behaved, eh?
Veronica says, I crossed the road at a stop sign and a guy cut me off, stopped his car. As his door reached me and he said, Askies, I laughed thinking if I didn't understand Afrikaans, I'd have think he told me to kiss his ass.
Askies. Askies
is a thing.
Says sorry a lot.
Chomotso says, you can call me anything, but don't tell me to go to hell.
Ooh.
Oh, you see, that's also...
Now, we take that kind of thing for granted, you know, where it's go to hell seems like such a small little
thing.
Hell. But that could, for some folks, that's like the curse of the highest order.
You can say a word that a friend of mine doesn't like, the word whore. She goes into a shiver. And I wouldn't use the word.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. You go on stage and he said something about... Yeah, climbing over a wall, that's just not Christian. So we speak about it as like it's not a Christian thing to do. Yet a person in the audience who is Christian going, did you just say the word Christian? So you trigger them.
Yeah.
Now you wonder why they're not laughing at the rest of your show.
Right.
Because you said whore or go to hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or you said Christian.
No, I can tell you for a fact that there are probably people who once listened to me and then they heard one thing I said and then.
No, you got me. Like,
no, now you're finished.
Yeah.
You're just in the shit all the time.
So that's just an asshole. So that cancel culture is like I'd like to bring this up. So, like I said earlier, my missus is German. Now, Germans have a different... Now, they're not known for their sense of humor.
No.
But, ironically enough, they have a great sense of humor. But you just have to understand it. But the point I was trying to make about this particular exercise is they don't play the person. They play a situation. So if you piss them off, they'll go, you know, Gareth, I think you're an asshole and you're Arschloch. You are doing shit wrong and you are not fucking nice guy, but then we'll have a dope later on because they play that situation. And once it's played and they've shared their opinion, they move on. It's done. Yeah, let's move on. It's not personal. South Africans, we play the person on every single level.
I don't know. I do think we are, to your earlier point about the whole Gayton thing, I do think we're quite forgiving here.
We are.
I think South Africans, like, if they can tell... Sorry, I'm just having a stroke.
Go to Clicks, get some signing tape.
If they can tell
in a cage
that you mean to do better. And this is why, I mean, my advice to Gayton would have been just ignore it because it'll go away. The people who are genuinely upset, and I don't think there are that many people who'd be genuinely upset because I think they read the situation and they go, other people are drumming this up to be a big deal.
Man, there's one thing that really pisses me off. What's and that? That's someone demanding an apology from me.
Please, don't.
That is absolute bullshit. Well, if I want to apologize and I feel like I've done something wrong, then by all means, I will apologize. I don't have a problem with the apologizing, but demanding it from me means that it's going to be completely insincere.
Oh.
It'll be shit. I don't actually want to do it, and I don't think it means anything then. But we've got from a culture... of demanding apologies, and then once we get it, we feel like we've accomplished something.
Those people who are demanding those apologies will never give you absolution afterwards. They'll never say to you, okay, now that you've apologized, let's have a drink.
They see it as a win.
They see it as a win.
Yeah. And then they'll keep beating you with it. Oh, but I got him to apologize.
I had a situation the other day where I got into an email, like... Onesie with somebody where they went, yeah, you're tardiness and you didn't answer your email on time. And it's like, I was opening a show, you know, things are a little different. Give me a couple of days to catch my breath and do the thing. And then My agent issued an apology. Like, hey, listen, I sincere and humble apologies. It was not meant to do that at all. Mm-hmm. And then they went, your apologies accepted, but your tardiness fucked up this, it fucked up that, it fucked up this. That's not accepting an apology. What that is, it's pointing out the fuck up again. And I mean, I was just...
They can't like let, that. Some people cannot let stuff go.
Yep.
They've got a... That's their whole reason for being, is they have to have an issue. Have to have foribles.
Foribles.
So they build their life around their problems they have with people. Yeah. Put that thing up again from... Who's this from?
But then the apology is not accepted.
No, but actually, Kurt's right. You say, I'm sorry because... You want to say I'm sorry.
And you want to move on.
After that, whatever they do with it.
Can I tell you Kurt's first reply? So he reads the email. He says, read this email. So I read it. I'm like, this is a teacher red marking.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it turns out the person was A-type. It's the personality of like, I'd like to show you where you went wrong.
Yeah,
so you can improve yourself.
Make your corrections in green pen.
And you can improve yourself.
The comments.
So Carl says, it's my daughter's 9th birthday today. It's also our Lady Wednesday together. So I'm playing this nice.
Now we're in trouble.
I'm playing this in the car.
She's supposed to be talking about the word. She's going to hear it.
It's her 9th
birthday. Don't you dare. Carl DeSantos, I don't believe that for a second.
Carl, and daughter of Carl, it is country. Cunt is short for country.
It's country, country music.
Okay, you guys can cover it up for me then. I was going to say, I know Carl from the comment section. There's no way that she's just heard that.
But also, when are you going to hear it and when are you going to be surprised? So my son's mom is very conservative. She doesn't like that swearing. So I say, he's got to hear it. And he's got to understand where it comes from.
Yeah.
And that's George Carlin's thing. It's like, please take the power away from the word. Stop adding so much power.
And we've come full circle because that was my point about the whole Gayton controversy is if people are going to make the K word, which in South Africa obviously carries enormous electricity, right?
Yeah.
But if we're going to give this word this kind of power, then we must expect it to do huge damage. And I don't think it's that powerful. And I think the people who do use it are like a relic of the past. It's like that old German oak who wouldn't let you in the shop. It is a rare and weird and fucked up thing.
The only way
there
it
are
can
still
be,
people who behave like that.
The only way it can be weaponized, it's if it's hidden like a gun from 1925 in the top of a cupboard somewhere. And
that's why I don't like the idea of people at Braai's throwing it around.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
Because to me, that indicates there's still a disease,
yes.
But we're now pushing it underground. So as long as we don't hear it in public, everything's fine.
And you do that look around before you say it.
That's nonsense.
Yeah.
So we take away the power. Make it, I mean, these people, who's annoyed enough or hurt enough on the internet when they see Gayton in a tweet? I mean, come on, get over yourself. You're not. I just don't believe you. I don't believe you're hurt. I believe you're trying to perform for attention. That's what you're doing. It's the same as the oak who makes the comedy show about him when he's in the audience. He's not meant to be making it about him, but he turns it into a thing about him and you, and then you have to focus a whole lot of your attention on this one moron who's spoiling it for everyone else.
Can we fix this somehow? Can we sing happy birthday or something?
To
Carlos's daughter.
When will you hear the word and be shocked? Rather hear it on the real network and go, okay, it's in context. I never said the word in a way. I want to explain it.
Don't even worry about
it. Then he's got to listen to George Carlin.
We've already moved on.
What are George Carlin's 7 words you can't say?
Fuck shit, cunt, piss, cocksucker, motherfucker.
Look at him. Look at him go.
I'm impressed, bro. You've heard that piece many times.
No, we had to learn. I learned. I was a nerd.
On the radio.
For radio, you weren't allowed to say those things. And I mean, if you take the amount of swearing we've done, today's probably been the most swearing heavy. Of all of our shows for a long time. Yeah.
It is the last show.
And it's all Dave. I had nothing to do with
it.
It's been a very heavy swearing
show
this
morning. We don't apologize.
It's been a very blue.
I did a show.
Very blue show.
I did a golf day for Jus van Wester before he died. We raised some money. And I
did
spoke
he know?
To him. He knew. He was, and if you listen carefully, he was very complimentous. He could chat. And
it took a long time.
Because I'm a comedian, you'll find that people do change their way when they're next to you. And we chatted. We got quite heavy at the table. If you just listen carefully, he spoke slowly, but he had a great sense of humor. And I asked him. I said, "Why didn't you, when that thing happened with, remember, You Magazine was all
with
over
the hooker
him,
and the underpants."
And I said, "Why didn't you just say, like the first thing when it comes out, you go, yeah, that was me,' and you take all the power away from them."
Yep.
So think about what we just said. If they had said, "How's I'm phoning from You Magazine? Were you with in the underpants with the hooker with the cocaine or whatever?" Yeah, that was me. What's his next question? So you know what he said to me? He said, I was not in control of the situation. I said, yeah, it was me, and knew that I'd get problems from my current wife and my daughters and son or whatever. And he said, the PR guys take over. And he's sitting there going,
wow. Manager, Jim.
And at that stage, you didn't have the disease.
But it was, it was a thing of
the PR guys take over on your behalf.
That's right. And that's how people used to handle those things. Yeah. These days, I would go with what you just said.
So this is me.
So you what are you going to say? Are you interested in the underpants?
Yeah, they're auctioned.
I'll
you can auction
them on eBay. Yeah.
So this is the problem with being a celebrity in a public space. We spoke about it off air with Will Smith and how that whole thing's coming apart. The thing about being a celebrity is that there are risks involved that you don't understand when you get involved with this whole celebrity thing, when this has become your goal for your life. So you want to be a big Hollywood star and you know, you become one. The problem is that you become an easy shot. Your head's your head and shoulders above everyone else. Mm-hmm. It just means you're just a hell of a lot easier to shoot at.
Built him up or breaking him down. Or he's doing a job of
his own. I think Will Smith's doing this to himself. And yes, people do love to pull somebody down because it makes them feel they're not so insignificant, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the bigger your target, if you're the guy who gets to say something cuck about someone who's really important, then you feel like somehow you've connected with them. You get a bit of shine on you. It's nonsense. I mean, there's no way you derive any long-term power out of being a dickhead on social media.
Have you had people tell you that? They go, but you're famous. Surely that you can get out of a parking ticket or something. That's their perception of what fame is in this country.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, also, once you've had it, you realize it's kind of a bit of work. It's not privilege. It's actually duty in some ways. And I don't mean, the last thing I want to do is sit here and complain about people recognizing me, because it has more advantages than disadvantages, but it takes up time. If you, and you guys know this too, if someone recognizes you and they're like, shit, Kurt.
Yeah, Matthew Perry.
Hey, Matthew Perry. Good to see you alive since friends. Hey, Kurt, I saw your show once and now they want to talk to you. Yeah. So now you were on your way to the shop to go and buy a fucking bread. And suddenly you find yourself in a 15-minute conversation with someone. That's and privileged. Maybe you even enjoy it, right? But it's 15 minutes that you wouldn't have had to spend if you were just Kurt nobody knew, right?
In Cape Town, if you go shopping anywhere around where Kurt lives, so Observatory, Mowbray, that area.
They all know him.
It takes you 2 hours to go and do any of that stuff. And they want to talk to him, eh?
So this fame thing is just, it's a non-starter in South Africa, because you're never so famous that you need bodyguards and you must wear sunglasses at night. That doesn't happen.
There was the one situation that I want to share with you. I was running the comedy club at the time and I was hiring sound and lighting equipment and I needed to purchase it because we were moving forward.
Right.
And the guy that I was renting from, I bought from. And then he sent me an invoice for June for the purchase, which I bought. And then he sent me a rental for June as well. So I said, here's a problem, guy. I can't rent something I've already bought. So eventually, long story short, he had taken this very seriously. I told him I'm not going to pay it. And then he's got a journalist friend. And I had a story in the newspaper with me standing next to one of my muscle cars. I mean, comedian will not pay bills.
Oh, for God's sake.
So now that's assassination in no uncertain terms then. Because there was no comment.
Isn't it amazing that you can strong arm a journalist because they're your friend into writing bullshit about somebody?
And he said this exactly. He said, yeah, but you're famous, you can afford
fake news.
So what it is, but
And the Oak told you, you're famous, you can afford to pay.
We attempted to assassinate me. And thank God my attitude towards it was, fuck, did he spell my name right? I'm like, okay, lekker, off you go, bro.
Yeah, I think everything has its pluses and its minuses.
Yeah.
It is part of what we do that people are going to recognize you. And it can bring you tremendous joy. And 9 out of 10 people you meet will be terrific.
It's exactly. There's 9 out of 10 times.
One will be a puss.
Stop using swear words.
But you can have fun with that. It's worth that time. Right? You can have fun with that. All right, so quickly.
So I'm not getting hired for that birthday then.
Can't we all be dickheads online in peace, says El Grande Amigo.
Leave me alone. I love my
Does comedy. Will Smith really deserve this? Hasn't he been embarrassed enough wearing dresses and acting roles, says Slippery Pickle. No, but the reason we bring up Will Smith is because I saw a clip yesterday of him. Have you got that clip?
Does he speak about money?
Did you manage to find it?
Money's not important.
Huh? Bring it on. Okay, take a look at this. You'll see why we're talking about this at all, why it's important. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Sit down, Dave. Your head's cut off. They cut off your head there.
Dave's trying to get you.
So Will Smith's 56. First of all, Madonna's 170 and she's still on stage, so I don't think it should prevent you from doing this. But he's not good at doing that any. And also, getting jiggy with it is so 90s.
It is.
Right? That would be like him dressing with the sideways cap like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and talking about who was the cousin who?
Carlton.
So the interview before this, where he said...
Why are you sitting like that?
Because you told me to sit down. I'm a director of a show. I'm a famous director. I'm a famous director now.
Now you're lying down.
I'd like a cigar. He spoke about nostalgia being cool again, and that's why he did that show.
Will.
So the interview before that was
okay,
how people are loving nostalgia.
Nostalgia's cool.
Yeah.
But the thing that's not the clip I saw that I had a problem with. The clip I saw was him doing something about being back again and bouncing back. And it was just sad because Will doesn't need to do this. Yeah. I would love, don't make us watch you deteriorate, you know?
Better sit up straight now.
No. Here's the thing, and you guys know this from entertainment. I don't want to see the greats that I grew up and loved. And I was a big Will Smith fan in the 90s with a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He was like the coolest guy on TV, right?
Yep.
And he had music, and then he was a movie star, and he did these amazing movies. I mean, he was a big fucking star. He was in top five for 10, 20 years.
Yeah, bank
Who knows? And then... the Chris Rock thing happens at the Oscars where he punches Chris, get my wife's name out of your mouth. But the wife is like sleeping with her son's best friend.
Yes.
And the whole thing's just deteriorated. Like, I don't want to know.
In public.
You almost wish it would be like a Amy Winehouse, Janis Joplin, dead at 27, go out with a bang and everyone will remember you as a hero. Because it's sad to see this guy unraveling like this. He's a cuck. Clearly his wife has no respect for him. His kids have no respect for him. He's got the two kids, what is it, Jaden and Willow.
Yeah.
Both of them are disaster zones, right? his career clearly, being a movie star is not what it once was, but people like Tom Cruise managed to keep it up. So what the hell? Just quietly go and enjoy your money, dude. Don't do this. So why are you doing this?
Here's another take on it, right? So... we mentioned earlier about relevance and feeling like you're taking up that space or holding the space that you've taken up.
If you don't feel relevant, just don't be.
Retire,
get out of there.
So as a comedian that's been doing this for 25 years, this show was about me trying to find my voice again and find relevance in the space I'm taking
up. We're finding deeper meanings in an analysis of Will Smith.
We came up with this idea.
I can relate to it a little bit because, so we've got a whole new tier of entertainment over the last 10 years or so, and that's the social media, TikTokers and Instagram space. So now we've got guys that are, they just take up a different kind of space. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just a different kind of space.
Right.
And for a lot of the time, it feels like I am playing in a different space than I used to play in the comedy business. We see this in the corporate space. We see particularly because eyeballs is the new currency. Mm-hmm. And if I've got 25, 40,000 followers, it's more likely than a corporate would book somebody with a bigger eyeball space than mine is, for example. Even though I'd like to believe I take my art form and very seriously, and there's a certain skill set that comes along with it. I'm best to take on something like
that. Well, it swings and roundabouts. So let me ask you both, because you will have seen comedians who are great on TikTok. They can they can pump out 20, 30-second TikToks, right? And they're hilarious on TikTok. Put them on a stage for more than five minutes. What happens to them?
Let me tell you this story. So someone calls and goes, listen, we've got this guy. He's a huge star. Can he do a headline set at the comedy club? So I go, I tell you what, we'll give him a guest slot. Not an open mic slot, a guest slot to see where he lands.
And to protect him.
Of course. But they don't see it like that. They go, no, he wants a headline slot. I said, I give you a guest slot before the headliner. So we go, okay, let's give him 5 minutes. He goes, no, 5 minutes is way too little. So I listen, you survive the 5 minutes, we can talk again. Bro, what happens when you're trying stand-up and it's not working? What you want to do is get one laugh so you can get the fuck off stage.
Yeah.
And the longer you're there, the less it's going to happen. The less chance it's going to happen. Eventually, I had to turn the music back up, the intro music, and go and fetch him off stage after 10 minutes. He was dying on his ass.
But he didn't even know. He had so little awareness.
He knew exactly what was going on.
Oh.
He was dying and he knew it. So the comedy club,
why did he stay?
He just wanted one laugh so he could get off.
Oh, God.
Eventually, we had to fetch him. He walked down the spiral staircase from the green room area, walked out of the door. We never saw him since.
So that means that stand-up comedy still has a craftness to it.
Definitely.
So if I'm scrolling and his stuff is funny, but I scroll past and then I go to the next thing, and then the next thing. No one in that audience could scroll past him.
No. There was no scrolling there.
That's right.
And you only get one swing at stand-up. Right. It's live. There is no, let's do it again with a little more love. Can we cut that piece out? No, it's fucking there.
So Mel Miller says stand-up comedy is a live rehearsal.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And this is also why you can't get too attached to the idea that, you know, to go back to fame and relevance, because I think that's something that probably everybody, you know, everybody has imposter syndrome at work. You could be in a bank and you've been working in the bank for, let's say, 5 years. You know everybody. You know how business goes. You know what you have to do. You've worked out what your minimum effort level needs to be and what you're really capable of if the pressure's on. And most people still feel, even with that level of 5 years of experience, knowing the people, knowing the business, they still feel like imposters. We all do, right?
Yep.
So when it comes to fame and relevance, there isn't really an answer, because I don't think anyone's cracked that code.
No.
I don't think there's anyone in the world who is so completely convinced that they've got everything. Because the moment you get to that stage, you're a fool. Because someone's going to come and pull the carpet out from under you anyway.
Potentially, that's what Will Smith is experiencing right now, is that he wants to be relevant again. He wants to be back. He wants to be able to take that throne that he thought and he believed he had for the longest time. And I empathize with that. I really do. Oh. But it is a bit sad.
Eh?
It is very sad, because the truth is, there's a window period for you to do what you need to do.
Oh,
and at some stage, we're all going to be 75. And no matter what you do, no one's going to get jiggy with
it. No one's going to want to fuck you.
What does your dad say about the movies? No one's going to want to fuck you.
No one.
Hey, what did your dad say about the movies?
Which one?
Your dad's famous saying, the good guys and the...
Yeah, he said, my dad famously said, he said, the thing about this life thing is that the good guy and the bad guy dies every single time. So get over your shit.
Well, what do they say also? You either die young or you live long enough to become the villain.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah, which is also scary, and you know, goes back to Will Smith and so many other people who've just they burn out.
Yeah.
And that's another great line, is like, I think it was Mr. T all those years ago, I got something to say. Better burn out than to fade away.
Fool.
I got some ageism the
other day. Fool.
Ageism. At a gig, and the chick there said, listen, there's a lot of young comics here, so maybe you should go on first.
Fall asleep or piss yourself.
So I went on first, and they didn't realize that I'd done this for 25 years. So knock the audience out, do some comedy, and then I sat back and watched the new guys just
flounder.
And this is the thing about a ninja comedian. No matter how old you are, I mean, George Carlin, case in point, you go out there and you blaze it up. The young guys are like, oh, fuck, I don't want to follow that.
Now I'm in trouble.
Now I'm in shit, And this happens a lot with older comedians.
So listen, before you go, because we're almost out of time here, but running a comedy club is also a specialized business, eh?
Oh, man.
Do they make the money out of the drinks?
Yes.
Okay, because that because you not want at the door. No, the reason I'm asking is because as a comedian, you want your audience to be a little bit drunk, yeah. but not very drunk. But the comedy club wants them to be very drunk.
No. So we ran a dinner theater. It's a little different. We had dinner. The show only started at 8:30. People got there at 6. So you got them nice and buzzy.
All right.
And some people didn't drink at all. But I think the mood is important. You know, the lighting's very important.
Muslims, they don't drink. They don't.
No, true story.
And do they laugh?
He did have a bouncer called Bruno who picked some people up who were having way too much fun in the comedy club.
Well, Bruno is this Congolese cat that's like 7 foot. Yeah. Nicest guy in the world. Always. Soft guy. And he would always tell me, hey, boss, hey, when you go fetch a guy, you got a big lisp. Like, Bruno. So, boss, don't do it. I said, stop calling
and
me.
And a French accent,
stop
right?
calling me boss. But he goes, okay, boss.
But he would
but he's a lovely, there. Lovely
so guy. So get too clever and too loud. He picked them up by the shoulders and carries them out. And they're still talking while they're leaving.
We had a secret code. I would just nod at him like. And then he
isn't it wild that there are people who just think they're much bigger than they are?
Well, alcohol induces that kind of confidence.
I mean, like some little oak who thinks now he's going to have a say.
Yeah.
In a comedy, everyone else is there not to see him.
There's no inhibitions after a few dops.
Yeah. But still, I mean, imagine being a girl and that's the kind of oak you're on a date with.
It's amazing how
imagine being a chick and you have to put up with that.
Changes certain personalities completely. I mean, I'm talking about soft, mellow oaks.
Yeah.
Four dopes, they turn into like proper assholes.
They do.
No filter, no brakes, no nicks.
The guy was quite tough, and then you actually heard him crying as he left the door. Hey?
Man, there were moments with, you know. With,
crying.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Judas says that Will Smith is a perfect example of how not to have an open public relationship. It has broken him down as a man and as a father, and now he's looking for validation by other means, and it's sad to watch.
And wow. On that note,
she's spot on.
See you on Friday.
That is.
Congo Chris says again, he's very into the conversation with you. Kurt, you should check out the comedy nights at Ground Culture in Obbs Main Road. Lots
That's
of new
talent. I'm playing there in September.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. So now you know.
Two nights. Go book tickets there.
Two of you can
Congo
have this conversation.
It's during the rugby.
No, it's not.
Is it also during the rugby?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
We'll make sure there's a rugby match scheduled at
you
the same
what? Kurt
time.
Kurt is so famous. He phoned Rusty and said, can you change the rugby? And Rusty said, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Because he said, famous. I don't want any rugby bullshit. Fans of my show.
Exactly.
They ruin it. Okay, good morning. Blessings and peace be with you, says RJ. Thank Isn't that nice?
Cheers,
it's always
man.
Nice to end on a high.
That's
like
fabulous.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks, RJ.
No way comedy clubs can stay afloat without selling drugs out of the back, says
yes. Most of the comedians take them all. They never sell there.
Okay, Matthew Perry, give us a thought for the day.
Stay in your jacuzzi. Stay cool out there. And don't let your dealer ever get your home number.
Oh, that's all great right. advice.
Oh, we got a round of applause from the producers. That's
my
never
stomach
happened
was in
before.
As well the whole time.
Listen, thanks, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again in studio. And good luck with the show next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Dave?
I got nothing. I'm a director now.
Director Dave. Just lie down on the...
and cut.
All right, and that's it. We'll see you on Friday, 6 a.m. Ciao, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.